You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's American Horror Story After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's American Horror Story After Show.
Good evening, AfterBuzzers. We are here at the AfterBuzz Studios doing all things American Horror Story. I'm your host for the evening, David Skifalidi, joined as always by the lovely ladies.
Hi, I'm Oriana.
Sarah Huggins.
Hello.
To my left, Jillian Leff across the table.
Hello.
With Oriana Leo to her left, and we have a special, special guest.
So excited.
In the studio tonight, the Scream Queen herself, actor-producer Brooke Lewis.
Welcome.
Yes. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I am so honored to be here, and like I said, you know, I don't BS. You guys know your stuff. I've been watching, and I'm so impressed with your intellectual commentary and, you know, really dissecting the show. Amazing. So I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you so much.
Why don't you have you be here.
Yes, with all the gore.
I know.
Hello.
But before we get started, I do want you to give our fans out there a brief little intro into your world.
Ooh, what do you want to know?
Well, I know that you do have five films coming out in 2014.
I do. I'm so blessed after doing Tony Jean's Wedding off Broadway for years and then going on to do some network sitcoms. I sort of broke out in horror and sci-fi in about 08. So a big film I did was called Eye Murders. That's directed by Robbie Bryan. And yeah, I started that with Tony Todd, Candyman, everybody, all the horror fans out there. Right? And William Forsythe and Gabrielle Anwar from Burn Notice. Amazing cast. So that was a huge sort of blessing that kind of put me on the map in the horror mystery thriller genre. And then I went on to win the B-Movie Golden Cob Award for Leading Lady Scream Queen of the Year 2010.
Congratulations.
What? Like for Slime City Massacre, which is directed by Greg Lamerson. Then I created Ms. Vampy for any of my fans out there. She's my alter ego. She's a like mobster Brooklyn vampire.
Nice.
So she talks like this and she's fun. And Jillian, you know, the Jersey, New York. So I'm really fortunate. And the film's shout out to Lazarus, which is Thomas Churchill's film, amazing horror mystery zombie thriller that'll be out next year. And Mark Klebanoff's The Morning, which has sort of a sci-fi twist. And Neil Johnson's Starship Rising, Starship The Coming Darkness. So, you know, it's going to be a good year. Yeah.
Very busy.
But most importantly, she is an American Horror Story super fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brooke is officially in the fan coven. We put a spell on her. And now she's ours.
We should have some kind of initiation.
I know.
I think she just went through it.
watching the episode.
Wait, I thought you wouldn't let me talk about that on air. Hold on. I thought that was private. Wait a minute.
Nothing is private at the AfterBuzz TV series.
No.
Absolutely nothing. But
nothing.
We really need to jump into tonight's episode.
Lots to talk about.
This was season 3, episode 9.
The Head.
The Head.
We were a little bit scared of the title. Didn't know what that meant. Obviously, obviously, it was
the
head of Madame Wallery.
We knew a little bit what it was about.
But it was kind of like, what are they going to do with this?
Right. Well, there are lots of heads in our story. I mean, we have Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
We have Laveau.
Yeah.
We have Hank's father.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Good thinking, sir.
And we have Kathy Bates' head.
Head. So you're saying like head of the family,
head of the coven,
head of the business,
yes,
and the head.
Mm.
You are so clever.
You're really smart, David.
Mm-hmm. It just came out my butt.
As he points to his mouth, he says, "My buddy points to his mouth." That's so cute.
Sorry.
So we open the episode, and did anyone catch where that was? Was it Chattahoochee?
Chattanooga?
It was definitely
Tennessee.
It was not Chattanooga.
I think it was the Chattahoochee River.
I don't know, but it was in 1991.
It was a national park. It was 91? I thought it was
71. Yeah,
1991. So, no. Carl was commenting on Twitter, our super fan Carl. Hi, Carl.
Yeah.
He was saying, how did Hank look so young in 91 and then now he's so much older?
I know.
But that's why I think it was 71.
No, it was 1991 for sure.
Yeah, because we all kind of rolled our eyes. I don't know.
I wrote 71 down, but I also can't see anything. So
I wrote 91, and Carl backed that up. So I
all right, whatever.
Anyway, whatever. Hank, baby Hank. Or
baby Hank is on his first witch hunting
excursion with Dad.
Yeah.
And he has to put them down.
I hate how they call it that. It's
like
so
a dog.
Scary.
Like put the witch down using a silver bullet and a rifle. Mm-hmm. What did we think about that scene?
So personally, I've never been hunting. I don't know if anyone here on our panel tonight has ever been hunting.
I have not.
Okay. Unless you can hunt Brooke. Louboutin shoes, I don't hunt. No.
Louboutin does make some flats.
Hunt for deals.
Yes.
My kind of lady.
Yes.
I have been, but never participated. I am from Texas after all, so it's like.
Okay. So when you go hunting,
yes.
How do you refer to the animals, like when you're talking about them?
I mean, you don't say things like put them down.
It's a game. You're just like, you're hunting the game.
Yeah, you're hunting the game.
Right. I don't know. That's my message.
Or just like being specific about the animal.
You've never played Deer Hunter on Nintendo?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. David. No. Okay. We need
Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
But essentially, it's a game. So it's like the game is whatever it is you're hunting.
Right.
And if you're hunting ducks or you're hunting
squirrels
or you're hunting elephants or you're hunting deer.
Witches.
You're going to be going after the game or the target or the mark or whatever they're going to call it. But they're not going to say put it down.
With a silver bullet, might we add.
That was impressive that you caught that, by the way. I was very impressed.
Well, I mean, okay, so this witch comes out. His dad.
She was looking fierce too, scary.
She had Jersey Girl hair.
Yeah,
she had. Crazy
eyes. Dad wrestles her up by shooting into the bushes.
Did he shoot into the bushes or did he shoot her?
I thought he was like, I'm going to wrestle her up. And he shoots into the bushes and all the birds come out.
Right.
And
right.
I'm thinking, oh, maybe they are going to shoot birds and not
people.
Well, no, but it's like, okay, so he's going to shoot in there. So his son, who has never hunted before, has a clear shot at this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Linda Blair, like old Linda Blair witch that comes out.
That is what I'm saying. Crazy woman with white eyes.
I was literally waiting for her to spew green vomit. Like, I just thought that would be like the cake.
And then she spews fire.
Fire.
Yeah.
Jinx.
She spews fire.
I want some coke.
But he still can't do it.
But he still can't do it because...
He's a kid.
Well, he's a child, but later on, I think it's very...
Yeah,
it's hinted towards. He has
later.
A heart. Mm-hmm. And he is sort of wrestling with this idea of whether or not he wants to be a hunter or he just wants to love.
So here's the question. Does he want to be a hunter? Like, is he fighting between being a hunter and following his heart, or is he fighting between his father's approval?
Well, Brooke, what do you think?
I think you're making a great point, Ariana. I think that both, and like we actually, as we were viewing, turned to each other and talked about how the beautiful thing about this episode is that it's the first, if and correct me if I'm wrong, but the first episode where Hank is shown as human.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, his human side, his heart, like you said. So I have to agree with you. I think it's a little bit both.
Because it seems like now that he's not with Foxy anymore, and now we see this humanizing side of him wanting to have the love and affection of his father.
Right.
And that seems to be contingent on his efficacy as in providing intel on the witches.
Right.
And he wants to go beyond that barrier and get his hands dirty and show that he really is part of as a witch hunter.
Well, and it seems like, I mean, his father's pretty much given up on
getting him to be a hunter.
Right, right.
So I just wonder how much he wants to be a hunter versus how much he wants to be part of the club.
Right, how much he wants approval from his father.
Well, and his dad kept saying, never forget what they are. He said it like a million times.
And how much he genuinely does want love, you know, which we see again later, not to jump ahead.
Mm-hmm. You know what I loved?
It's true.
When Fiona approached Marie Laveau and was like, hey, BZ, got your head. we should get together. We should talk.
So Fiona comes to Cornrow City with the head of Kathy Bates.
Lollary. I meant to make, you know what, over Lollary. Christmas break, I'm going to make you a beautiful little flow chart.
Post it.
Yes, it's going to have all the characters' names and their faces.
Perfect.
And it's only a couple that he forgets.
It's okay. Like,
the main couple.
I figured, like, if we do some Kyle flashcards.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll work.
I'll get you on board.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And she says,
she's if searching for an alliance.
Yeah. If you're not going to take this head back or work with me here, at least give her a wash and set, which I thought was awesome. Because that makes her go into talks with her.
Totally.
Well, and I love how, I mean, I was about to call her Kathy Bates now. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
I love how Lollary is just like, I mean, she's talking. Like, as soon as the head just started speaking.
Are you insane?
Yeah,
you can't make a deal with her?
Yeah.
Well, my favorite part is that they go into the back, and the body is standing up, and the hand is moving.
It's reacting to everything.
The hand is swatting the flies that are accruing at its neck.
Which,
did you notice that? It kept going up just to swat a fly.
So she can easily, whatever she wants.
I agree with you. A little ridiculousness going on.
A little bit of ridiculousness.
Not that we haven't had suspension of reality with the show many, many times. But I agree with you.
Right. I mean, we know that she can't die, and the head is already talking on its own, but the body is standing there. Like, if you were to...
Wouldn't you want to sit down?
Right? Something.
I don't know. Sit down and relax. Take a load off. Take your head off.
Lay down.
So basically, they're like... Fiona's like, all right, your tribe, my coven, let's do this. And Marie Laveau's reaction is, and I quote... Witch hunters is a white woman's worry.
I love that. I did too.
Mm-hmm. That was one of my favorite.
Which
parts.
Obviously we know that Marie Laveau was in on the Hank, right, Hank that's the Skank.
Why. It is a white woman's worry.
Yeah, it is a white woman worry, but
not for long.
Not so much now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we see Foxy, Cordelia Fox, in the kitchen, mm-hmm. who is trying to deal with her blindness.
Well, it seems like at this point in the episode, and at this point in her blindness, she's sort of grown accustomed to it, and she's getting kind of
she wants to be good
at being a blind lady.
She wants to live her life. She wants to live her life.
She wants
she's
independence.
She's readjusting. Yeah.
Or freedom,
right.
if you will.
There you go.
Oh, gosh.
And we get a very tender moment between Myrtle and Foxy.
You know what I loved? I loved the point where Foxy said to Myrtle, I don't want to touch you because I know that you didn't do it.
Right.
And I don't need magic.
I know everything.
Yeah, to show me what I already know is true.
Yeah. And we really got to see sort of the closeness factor between them, which helped build the backstory to what Myrtle Snow ended up doing.
Oh my god.
Okay, but
which
okay.
was awesome.
Just a quick question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think Myrtle Snow is a bad person. However, it's mighty convenient that she said, "Give me a big hug so that you can put all the worries out of your mind." And Foxy says, "No." And then she goes and gets her fresh eyeballs, which we'll talk about in a minute, but she can't see her use her touch anymore. So she says, "No, I don't want to." And then Myrtle's the one that gets her new eyeballs, and then she doesn't have her vision anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, like, she never took the opportunity to really hold on to her tight when she could to get the truth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then now she never will.
Yeah, so what is her truth?
So my one question was just, like, what will we never know about Myrtle? Or what will she never know about Myrtle? She didn't care to know.
Right. I'm not sure that there is a lot about Myrtle that Myrtle doesn't already tell us.
Put out on the table.
Right. I mean, I feel like she is an open book.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Brooke?
Again, I agree with you.
Yeah?
I do. But you're making an amazing point. I mean, this is why I love you guys, because I watch you and you discover things that I think a lot of people don't. So, I don't know. Will it reveal itself later?
I'm just kind of throwing it in there as I think we saw Myrtle do some things I know that I didn't expect her to do.
Right.
Yes, I agree.
It made me wonder, what else is she capable of that we will only find out as a surprise later?
Well, we do know that since she has returned from death, she is quite the ferocious woman.
Right.
as we see with her style, her voice, she's very, you know.
Her skin, she's glowing.
Her skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that did cross my mind. I want to believe that Myrtle is truly good because she has had true intentions her entire life. But who knows? Something could have gone screwy in that Louisiana mud that Misty got all over her, and she could maybe be coming back a little bit different than we thought.
Right.
Who knows?
Just a little bit crazier. She says she's more of a witch now than she ever was.
Right.
Well, the next thing that we see is Hank in Atlanta.
Mm. Yes, at his father's office.
Financial company.
Delphi.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we find out that his father is the CEO of a major financial institution.
Cover.
Which is his cover. But, I mean, you also need money to live.
Right.
You can't live off of
hunting. Doesn't pay that much.
Hunting is not, I think, a profession.
It's a hobby.
It is a life choice.
Okay.
That should be like your tagline, you know, like on The Real Housewives, and they're like,
yeah, that's Steve's tagline. We turned around.
Which, by the way,
a hobby.
Sarah pointed this out, but Hank's dad was on Smash.
Yes.
So, like, let's play 6 Degrees of Separation. So, the Axeman is,
Angelica Houston's
half-brother.
Oh,
so
my God.
Connection there.
Full circle.
We just noticed these little quirky
Smash,
things.
Sorry, but I got really excited.
But we find out in this sort of scene that Hank was never actually supposed to be killing anybody. He was supposed to marry Foxy, live in the house, and be the
inside
eyes
man.
And ears
but I think,
for the hunters.
I think that's because, I mean, his
he's
dad
a terrible
figured
hunter.
Out early on, right, he just didn't have it in him to do it.
Well, he didn't have the heart to do it, I think. And then he marries Fiona, and we see it in a moment here. Thank you.
Weird.
People. He marries Foxy, whatever, and his father says, he says to his father, you disfigured my wife, when we find out that they threw the acid in her face, and he said, no,
that was shocking.
I disfigured a witch.
Yeah.
And he said also you should never lose yourself in the lie.
Right.
And it made me think of, like, undercover agents, you know, how that can be really tricky. That doesn't seem, in this episode, like you were saying, Brooke, like, he's really humanized, and it doesn't seem like he even knows which way is up. He seems to really love Foxy.
I agree.
He
really
so
does.
Vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, again, addressing the lie, and being a single woman in a crazy city, you know, I think that a lot of us live... I think that's very real. And again, that's the brilliance of Ryan Murphy and Brad and the writing and the subtext, you know, is that a lot of us live lies in love, you know? And so I think that
a lot of us lose ourselves in the lie of whatever lie of the story we've told, the picture we've painted.
Our own reality.
That's brilliant.
Thank and not
you.
Only is he, is he getting lost in that, but how many times have you guys sort of felt like you've had to prove yourself in your lifetime? You know, he's trying to prove himself to his dad. So he kills Alexandra Breckenridge. I forget what her character's name is. The redhead in the hotel room.
Firestarter. The dad called her.
Firestarter. And he does a completely sloppy job of it because the only thing that he is thinking is, I killed a witch. It's good. I killed a witch, got rid of the body. Yeah.
But his father's like, you used a credit card.
Yeah.
To pay for the hotel room. It could have been linked back to the corporation and then therefore to me. So I had to go back and kill the witnesses and clean up your mess.
Yeah.
Good job.
I thought, which I didn't quite know what it meant, but I thought it was interesting that his father said the hunt isn't only about the kill.
Mm-hmm. Which, well, it's about, he explained it sort of as seeking a prey, like a lion would.
It's like, would wait in the bushes and check out the scene and look at the, you know, would hunt, would literally look and take all the information.
Before,
and then the kill is the very end of the game.
Right.
Right? So he's just...
Hank clearly doesn't enjoy the game.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get that it's a game. That it's like, you know, you gather all this information and you make a calculated move.
Right.
You choose the weakest one in the pack.
He does not get that.
Speaking of making a calculated move...
Yes.
Miss Myrtle Snow decided to have Pembe and Quentin... over for dinner.
Probably one of the more gruesome scenes we've seen so far this season.
I did actually close my eyes.
For a second,
I pulled a Jillian.
I did not. My eyes went bigger.
I will say that actual taking of the eyes didn't bother me. It was later when we saw what she did with the other body parts and that she was, like, playing with them. That was disturbing.
Really, that didn't bother me as
much.
I think it was the eyeball being gouged out by a melon baller. For me.
Well, she invites them over for...
We know Jillian loved that part. She loves the gory stuff.
For lunch, and she gives them sort of a palate cleanser of bald melons mm-hmm. with some sort of...
Was it a
liquid or was it an herb?
It was some kind of herb or root nightshade. Something in the nightshade family, yeah. I think.
Okay.
But so it causes
some kind of herb. Some sort of poison that causes temporary paralysis.
The human statue system is what she put it.
Right.
Which it did, and she said it feels awful, but I have no intention of killing you. But maybe after dessert, because I worked really hard on dessert and I love key lime pie.
I mean, who doesn't? I really
But the thing is, as much as this is fascinating about Myrtle and I think she's kind of fabulous, it's starting to wander into like sociopathic territory.
Totally.
Where she's like, anything for my little birdie Cordelia, and like pops the eyes out.
Well,
and
she's
then
doing it
up.
Sort of like out of love.
Ish.
I mean, okay. It's like, it's a thing that we've seen before. A crazy mother. We see it in Mommy Dearest, where she beats her children out of love. I mean, I know it's like, it's pushing
totally
the boundaries and totally crazy.
Is that what we're calling Joni's bleach enema? Was that love too?
Oh my God.
Yes, she did that out of love.
Yes, it was love.
It's completely insane.
True. Not to go too far ahead / make a prediction, but I'm just saying, I'm curious to see how Myrtle, since she's become so protective of Cordelia, there was sort of a moment with Cordelia and Misty in the herb room
mm-hmm.
where Misty is now looking to Cordelia as an icon. So I'm wondering if their closeness is going to be affected, like Myrtle will seek revenge on their closeness. Because it looked to me like they were going to have like a les makeout session. They got really close. Yeah. And I was like, whoa.
I also thought going? That was going to happen for a second.
Me too. Would have been vagina resurgence, like.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, segue. I just want to interject for one second.
Yes,
having nothing to do with vajayjays. sorry, not right now. But can I just say, because I do know that there are a lot of horror filmmakers and real visual people watching,
mm-hmm.
that scene, which I loved, the eyes removal, but can we talk about the cinematography and the art direction,
mm-hmm.
the
yes.
colors of the fruit mm-hmm. and the grapes and her red belt? And I was just like, wow. Right? Am I right, though?
No, it was a beautifully shot scene.
And the actors, you have to give it to them for doing their statue.
Oh, my God.
Because they weren't really frozen. They were just like, they were in a spot, and then they kept moving and morphing. And I thought that must have been a difficult thing to shoot.
Yeah.
It probably was.
Ryan Murphy knows how to do major moments.
And then the extreme close-up on the melon ball.
The eye falling into the...
So good.
I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't see the eyeball falling into the
You need to go back and rewatch it, because it's actually pretty incredible.
It is beautiful.
I'm glad we didn't have to see, like, the part... Like, then we just cut to Cordelia having the new eyes.
Well, she gets her vision back, and she gets one of each eye.
Which is
kind of awesome.
Brown.
One blue, one brown.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she's talking about her cat that had one blue, one brown eye, and it was just beautiful.
I totally missed that. I couldn't figure out what she was talking about.
She's talking about a cat.
Yeah.
She had a moment. You know.
Kitty.
And she was like, you know, wouldn't it be great if you had one blue and one?
I'm calling it now. Myrtle's going cray-cray.
I mean, I don't understand personally why, if she was going to kill them and chop them up anyway, why not take...
Both
from one person,
yeah.
as opposed to one of each. Especially but I guess it's sort of her revenge.
Mm.
I don't know.
But maybe we'll find out in another episode
as to why she did that.
A piece of both of them. I don't know.
Right, like a special power or something. Yeah. Each. We never know.
It just seems like for your
that
for
would
your
be very
daughter,
interesting.
You would think you'd want her to be as beautiful as possible, and you give her two matching eyeballs.
Sure. I think. Two different color eyeballs is kind of...
Sarah Paulson is fierce either way.
Fiona was a little troubled by the mismatch.
A little troubled?
Yeah.
She was like, what did you do?
Ew.
Why did you do this? And Fiona was still going along with the lie that she told herself about Myrtle committing the capital crime.
Right. Well, I mean, so she's blaming Myrtle
that
for...
That was later. I didn't mean to jump ahead, but...
What?
When Fiona sees her eyes.
That's okay.
Okay.
When Myrtle's blaming Fiona, Fiona's blaming Myrtle, and yet Myrtle has just killed two witches.
That was what
and
I was thinking.
And is totally
fine
nonchalant about it, totally fine with it. And she's like, you know what? Fine. You killed me. I'm going to kill you back.
But Fiona says, you know, I could exile you to Paramus, New Jersey.
Right.
Yay, Paramus!
Brooke and I had a moment. went.
We did.
We both know where Pram is. I feel like none of her.
We had a flirty kind of moment.
Is it miserable? Is it miserable there?
You know, there's a big mall.
Yeah, there's a strip mall. Not even a strip mall. It's a huge mall.
In Paramus.
Yeah, you know. So I mean, really, a Jersey girl would love to be exiled there. But I guess Myrtle not so much.
Not so much.
Which is might not be popular there. I don't know.
And then at this point, we find out that Foxy's visions are gone as well.
Yes.
But then we flip to Nan and Luke and Patty LuPone in the hospital.
Yes, and we sort of just get like a brief touch of MM and Zoe this week, which was great.
Yeah.
MM sort of reveals to Patty LuPone that they're witches, and she's like, come on, you stupid
baby.
Oh my god!
I mean, I bet you that's what she wanted to say,
right?
But she didn't.
I think MM would say whatever she wanted to say,
right.
Though.
Yeah.
Yes, but she's being censored.
Okay.
So Luke is speaking through Nan,
mm-hmm.
And he has some good things to say.
He has some kind of really awesome things.
Well,
to
the
say,
first time we see Nan and Luke sort of connect, we find out that he tells Nan about this song that his mom used to sing him. And forgive me, but I was really hoping for a Patty LuPone belt, and instead we got a cry song.
I really enjoyed it.
Of course. David was like, oh.
What did you enjoy about it?
Well, because it was like...
You just love her.
I think that Patty LuPone is such an amazing actress that she doesn't necessarily... We don't need the belt to come through.
To show her
we don't
talent.
Have to be
raw
American
talent.
Horror Story well, musical
Brooke,
episode.
Brooke, exactly. Smash.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I would love that, personally. Brooke, you did theater in New York, so do you think that it's sort of better when you're a stage actor transitioning to screen, or do you think it's a completely different game?
I think it's a completely different game. I think it's really challenging. I think that it took me a gazillion classes, not to get off the subject, you know, to bring it down for film and television. I think it's so different. So I think that when an actress like Patty LuPone has the opportunity, which, you know, Ryan and the guys created for her, it's a brilliant choice to go the opposite, you know, to go the absolute other way.
Mm-hmm. And she's a mother, and she's, you know, sort of remembering her 8-year-old son when he broke his arm, and she's singing this song to feel better, and she's...
Well, it's another humanizing moment,
right?
Where it shows her vulnerability and her raw emotionality to be crying through that song.
And she still sounded awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she did sound good, but I really wanted some... Gypsy.
I mean, we all do.
But you know what also in that scene, which Ariana brought up earlier, too, about the themes, which I don't know if this was discussed even, but what I, you know, started talking about, the infidelity comes up again, right?
Right.
Which is so interesting to me because, if obviously, we all know first season of American Horror Story, right? So there's always the infidelity that somewhere appears, right?
That's a great observation, yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't even connect that either.
Yeah, like every season...
True.
I believe.
It's very heavy, yeah.
Right? Which is so genius of Mr., you know, Ryan Murphy. So
we saw the infidelity with Hank, right? Mm-hmm. Hank was Hank, so he was unfaithful, and then here it comes back again with other character storylines.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So many things happening in my head right now.
Yeah, I know. There's
okay.
a lot more.
Let's go to something more fun.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I'm excited to talk about this because I thought it was a great scene. Queenie... takes
Madame LaLaurie
and makes her watch every single powerful African-American film of her lifetime, 8 hours of Roots.
About slavery.
And BAPS.
Can we just say, BAPS. I just aged myself, but yes, BAPS.
I remember
that. And listen to her music.
I thought that was brilliant. And, in the beginning, I was sort of like a little bit disheartened because Madame LaLaurie was still being so stubborn about who she was, and I'm going to close my eyes the entire time, and blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, we find out that things happen towards the end, which we'll bring up later, but I thought it was a great moment that even though Queenie has been punished or not punished, I guess we don't know what has happened to her, but she still decided to take the head and hide it in her apartment. Like,
I think it's like above the the salon.
The salon. Yeah, she's upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is pretty risky, like, where she's staying, to, right? Because didn't Madame Laveau ask her to take it outside and, like, burn it?
And burn it.
Yeah.
Yes. And she's keeping it to sort of teach this woman a quote-unquote lesson. She's like, you can die, but you're not going to leave this earth until you learn a thing or two. About
which
the people,
I loved.
Which I love, too. About the people that you wronged.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. If she burned the head, would she actually die? I mean...
That's the...
Maybe, I mean...
That's the thing. Would she? I don't think so.
Right? I mean, either. I don't think there's any getting rid of her. Right. Like,
what's
her body
going on with
is
that?
Headless horseman.
It's just waving the
situation.
Flies.
There's a lot to be desired about right. that situation.
We get to see Marie Laveau make a voodoo doll.
We do. Yes.
Which is awesome. Which,
another thing, though, is that she wrecked Hank. Like...
Wrecked
really
him.
Hurt Seriously. Him very yeah. badly and says, you better finish it tonight. And I'm thinking, how do you break someone's like arms and legs and gut them and then them they're too. All normal that night?
Maybe she fixed him.
Yeah, because later when he goes
he
to talk
fine.
To Foxy,
he's just drunk.
Yeah,
he's drunk.
He was just drunk. Yeah.
He got wasties.
But in this, and you said it in there when we were watching it too, like this was the first episode where we were like, aw, Hank, like kind of
actually
felt
bad
for the guy.
For him.
Well, he
for
sort
a
of gets this. Yeah. Warning from Laveau.
Right.
Laurie, what's her name?
Yeah.
Laveau.
Yeah,
I was right.
Yay!
Yeah.
Two candies for me. To kill the ladies by this evening or he's dead. Mm-hmm. And he goes, before doing anything, he gets drunk and then goes to Foxy and is like, look, I'm here to protect you. I want to protect you. I love you. Take me back. And she's like...
No.
Your shit's in the box upstairs. Get it. Get out.
Bye-bye.
And...
She was serving us some Beyonce.
Yes.
Irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Looks to me during that moment and goes, all your stuff is about to the left.
To the left, like, to the left.
Well, and there was that That's moment true. With Misty and him. Was that just him, like, recognizing that was her?
Yes.
Or was that just, like, a flashback for us?
No, that
like,
was him
he recognized
her.
That gotcha. He was trying to kill her. And
but he didn't
away.
Even, yeah.
He was unsuccessful.
Yes.
Which just brings up another moment that he was
he failed.
Sort of unsuccessful
right.
in his witch hunt
he's
career.
He's a failure, let's face
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But to a certain degree, I think it is warranted because, as being a failure, he is actually, I think, in this moment, we see that he is in love with Cordelia.
Right.
Yeah.
And we see his love for her, and he does go get his stuff, as she's asked him. And he meets Endora,
the dog,
the guard dog.
Mm-hmm. You know what? An observation, really quick, is Fiona was looking amazing this week. Like mm-hmm. cancer mm-hmm. is like
cancer. What?
Well,
yeah,
Laveau does call her out on the beginning of the episode. Because that's a nice wig.
Yeah,
but still,
but
she looks.
I mean,
good.
But she does look good
compared to last week.
Last
yes.
week
mm-hmm.
she was like on death's door, so mm-hmm. I was a little surprised that she
yes.
was like, mm-hmm, okay, and like you know doing her thing. So anyway. She has a watchdog named Endora.
Well, they need a guard dog,
yes.
she says.
That will attack on command.
Yes.
A female one.
Well, she says that,
that's
that
what she
a
preferred.
Female dog is more loyal when
protecting
their family.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is true.
It is true. Yes.
Yeah. Don't poke the beast.
Yeah.
Girl power. Girl power. Mike, just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Hank leaves, and the dog finds Kyle, and so Fiona finds Kyle.
Oh my gosh!
And Kyle's hugging
Kyle
the dog.
Pulls a Lenny.
I know
from
yes.
of Mice and Men on Endora.
How many high schoolers do we have listening? Did you read the book yet?
Yes. Yes.
We all had to read it.
All of us had to read it, and we
Not
all know
me.
What Lenny did.
You didn't,
but I read it up on edge.
You know what Lenny
did,
right?
I did.
Yeah. Well, Kyle pulls a Lenny, and. Wow, that took me by surprise.
I didn't think that was going to happen.
Me neither. First of all, who knew that Fiona had a dog? And second of
I think
all,
she
knew.
Just got it.
She yes. did, but I mean that she yeah. would. As Hank says, you hate all animals and
living things.
And she's like,
yes.
mm-hmm. yeah, that's true, but
yeah. I need this dog. So that was really surprising.
It was yeah. surprising. I think what, for me, was more surprising is when, I'm going to jump to the end of the episode, when we get to the end of the episode and Fiona has sort of...
Rejuvenated,
repaired Kyle, and he's
right. looking good.
Speaking yeah. fine. He's looking good.
Playing cards
he's
with
playing
her.
Rin Jummy. What is it?
Gin Rummy.
Rummy.
So Kyle's speaking better than you now.
Jummy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's kind of incredible.
And wait, can I just, can I acknowledge one quote? Because I loved it.
Yeah.
And this is, I'm just so obsessed with the ageism stuff that goes on in this, you know, in the season especially. So when Fiona says, also to, when the girls come in, when Madison and Zoe, and she's like, since none of you girls can play cards with the damned, right? So like, it was like a little dig for, you know, seasoned women.
Like, since, you know, you girls couldn't deal with the, you know, the boy, I fixed your boy.
Right.
Or whatever.
Like, because I'm a woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to protect us like a dog.
Yeah. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. We need an attack dog.
Frank and Kyle might have been a better choice of protection.
Than the dog.
Yeah.
Fully.
I mean, he was a little bit crazy. Remember the stuff he was capable of?
He bludgeoned his mom with a trophy.
Doesn't mean that he can't do it still.
He will do it still. But the point is that he's going to take care of the women who made him.
He will
go cray cray on who they sick him on.
Which is great.
Yes. Right. Another person who sucked themselves on somebody tonight was Hank.
That was a creepy.
I know. It was really strange. There was no need to point it out. We all heard it. Hank goes crazy on the voodoo ladies.
Oh my gosh.
Oh
my gosh. Like, we couldn't. I mean, my heart was just racing during
He was preparing himself and he's getting his shotgun and he's getting his 9mm and whatever he's doing, all his guns, did you think he was going to the hair salon, to the voodoo ladies, or did you think he was going to the coven?
I thought he was going to the salon, but I want to ask you, Brooke, that was like a mass death scene. Have you ever shot something like that with all those, what are they called, where the fire goes off?
That's a great question.
Oh, a squib, right? Is that what it's called?
That's a great question. Yeah. No, I would say I had to run from being stomped on by aliens.
Okay. Not just
but no, nothing like that. Like that, honestly, and you guys know my reaction in there, Sarah. My heart was pounding. I mean, on so many levels. You know, you start thinking about all the shootings that, I don't even want to bring it up. It's so sad and scary, you know, but, you know, that go on in this world, how sick it is and how in a split second someone can snap and go and it's done, you know? So like you think of those things and then the visuals and then, and can we address the song that was playing in the background? Like the impact of this scene, I'm still shaking when
major.
I think about it. Major, sick ending. Like, wow.
Well, Ryan Murphy said in EW last week, he was like, this was his favorite episode shot so far. He said it's going to impact far beyond the night that it, you know, premiered, which it was.
I mean, we had, LaLaurie upstairs watching
crying,
watching the footage
and listening to Freedom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we see Queenie get shot in the stomach. Yeah. And then, of course, fans, what do you think? This is going to be the fan coven sound off. Is she going to come back from the self-inflicted injury?
Yeah, because she shot herself.
She pretty much shoots her brains out. But she's targeting Hank, and we see Hank go down.
Yes.
But is she,
but we also don't see Queenie after
we
that.
We don't see Queenie get up, and we don't see Queenie after that. We see Hank's father looking at pictures of him
dead.
Right.
So that's a confirmation that Hank's dead.
But I think it's a great Twitter question. All the Twitter fans out there, you know, tweet these guys here because, like we were saying before, you know, in earlier episodes, again, when Queenie would, slit her throat or something, whoever her target was, but she always repaired. So what is going on, everybody?
Right.
Let
Can
us know.
She repair?
We don't know.
After shooting her brains out.
Yeah.
And then also, like, just you were saying the music, the freedom. It was like, no, I don't want Queenie to die.
No. And I'm not ready for her. I didn't know where Madame Laveau was. I was like, did she get out? Did she, like, know this was happening? Like, when he saw her, I was like, oh, my God.
Well, like
I
said,
tried to shoot her.
In News and Gossip, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, we find out that there is going to be like a voodoo Satan that appears in the episodes after the break.
Right. So we saw a little preview.
What we think is that she has sold her soul to the devil, and that is why she is beautiful and she cannot die. And you know, that's just something to come. But sort of one of the other things that happened before we wrap up the last scene is Patti LuPone in the hospital with Luke, and the B story comes out about how she murdered her husband.
Right.
So how quickly does her tune change about Nan, first of all? You know, when she's like, you are amazing. You know, you have given me this gift and helping my son and all this stuff. And then the second that the information that comes out of her son is critical of her,
she's like oh, get out of here. Yeah.
Like, you're dark, you know, blight on our family
dark-sided.
Or whatever. But it was like, wow, that was convenient.
Yeah.
I love the female ferocity. Just, I mean, everyone has their own angle on it. Like, I don't think everyone's attitude is the same, which I appreciate.
Right.
It's just amazing.
This, I feel like, only further makes me believe that she's some sort of witch hiding behind her religion, because if there was a swarm of bees in this man's car, there's no way that him opening the door would not notice that there were bees in there.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So, 100%. True. I watched last week's episode with you guys, and I was like, yeah, I totally agree.
She has to be. I mean, she has to have some sort of summoning power.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where she can... Even if she doesn't know it,
right,
it's there.
Right. Also, she didn't acknowledge the fact that she was brought back by a witch.
Right.
At all.
None of that was even addressed.
No. Thanks, Misty. Yeah.
She did.
Rude.
She did say, she admitted that she had had dark moments, which I was like, moments, plural.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've seen, I guess, a couple of her dark moments.
Yeah, I hope that that's
wonder
what
how
we've seen.
Much darker.
I know.
Yes, but, and so apparently she's killed her husband, and then Luke wakes up and says, "You killed Dad."
So this is... Go ahead, sorry.
And she goes to smother him with a pillow.
This is what... I mean,
does
obviously,
she kill him?
Another crazy...
Is he dead?
We will have to wait to see.
This whole loyalty and family to me comes up again, where it's like, is Luke supposed to stay loyal to his mother no matter how much abuse she lays out on him?
Right.
You know, or does he goes to the other side and comes back and is like, oh my gosh, do I need to be loyal to my father? Right. You killed him.
Right.
You betrayed him. Like, there's so many... Every character is going through something where they feel pulled from two different sides.
Yeah.
And they feel like they're getting pulled apart a little bit about where their loyalties lie.
Do you think that Luke, if he is dead, that the girls are going to bring him back?
Yes.
Nan will know right away when he dies.
Right. Yeah, because he'll stop talking.
Right.
So I'm curious to see that, but the last scene, because I want to get to news and gossip and everything like that.
Yeah.
The last scene we see, Marie Laveau come and knock on the White Witch's door.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
She's like, hey, girls.
Let's work together.
Yeah.
The alliance is on.
The alliance is on.
Mm.
So good.
So well, because good.
Such
now,
a great way to end our mid-season before we go on a break, and I think it leaves a lot for us to think about.
Yeah.
There's one thing I want to cover that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
That was Misty Day and Cordelia together when they resurged the plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm kind of wondering what, like, if they're just practicing or if they're trying to get their spells together.
I think they were putting together a protection spell or a protection... Something
because they ate the things that were on the plant,
right?
And so everyone in the coven needed to eat it.
Yes, and you only do this in a case of emergency.
Aha.
Yes.
Okay. Fans, did you catch what the berry was or what that was?
Well, it was sage.
Like
she was asking about. I didn't know bay leaves were, you know, had magic. We were just like, they're for protection, and then they go through all the ingredients. They make this kind of mud stew, and they put it on the plant. Mm-hmm. But it was just fascinating to watch this plant go from dead to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what that has to do with protecting them.
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? And we see the resurgence coming through every episode.
It might be the plant itself.
Mm-hmm. Goes from dead to living.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too, that she was like, I have so much to learn from you. And Foxy was like, no. Like, Fiona is your supreme. Like, you. Yeah.
And then also, Myrtle refers to Misty Day and her mud, and she says the mud is her metaphor.
Yes.
And that was incredible.
Yeah.
I thought the way she explained that in the beginning of the episode
was
of just how, you know, she has such incredible powers, but she doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
And she's hiding in plain sight, kind of.
Yeah. No. So great.
So much to come. So excited. Let's jump right into news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Can I pass that?
So I did some research on Angela Bassett. Shout out to my coworker Danielle because she's obsessed with her. So she gave me all this information.
Yay.
Nice.
Thanks, Danielle.
So apparently, Angela Bassett turned down the lead role in Monsters Ball, which went to Halle Berry.
Oh, interesting.
Because she won the Oscar.
Because she wouldn't do a nude scene. But everything's coming full circle because early in Angela's career, she did a half-nude scene in a horror movie called Critters 4.
No.
So she's done horror before, ladies and gentlemen.
Critters 4.
Critters 4.
I feel like I remember that movie.
Yeah, well, she did. It was like a shower scene. So you saw her butt, but nothing else. So, you know, tasteful for Miss Angela Bassett, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, she turned down the role
to
Halle Berry.
Wasn't she nude in the Ike and Tina movie?
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I never saw that, but that was sort of my chunk of information. And if you all haven't seen, Ryan Murphy posted a photo of Misty Day and Miss Stevie Nicks on Twitter. I tweeted it earlier in the week, but I will retweet it again because
it was amazing.
That good. You need to see it. And I can't wait. Oriana, you had something too, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, congratulations to Jessica Lange for being nominated for a SAG Award for Best Actress.
She deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
Best Female Actor in a Drama. Mm-hmm. Is that what
is it? Is it one of those miniseries?
No, it's not a miniseries. It was for Best Actress in a Drama, I believe. But it's for this character. For Fiona Good. So congratulations to her. Nice. And then this is very random, but I was on set yesterday and I overheard someone talking about how they worked at Madame Laveau's. And so this was an actor talking about a summer job. And now Madame Laveau's is her home and her property, historically, supposedly. And they sell voodoo tchotchkes.
Paraphernalia.
So I started doing research at the time going, well, I wonder what happened to Madame LaLaurie's house, because we saw in the show that there was a tour.
Right.
And he had said, no, it's apartment buildings. Well, just so you know, everyone, in April 2007, Nicolas Cage bought the LaLaurie house through Hancock Park Real Estate Company, LLC. This is from Wikipedia. For $3.5 million. And the mortgage documents were arranged in such a way that Cage's name did not appear on them. On November 13th, 2009, the property, then valued at $3.5 million, was listed for auction as a result of bank foreclosure.
Yikes.
Wah, wah. So Nicolas Cage, I remember there being some report on his fascination with kind of devil-worshipping satanic murderers or whatever. This is that story, that he bought LaLaurie's house, but when he had personal financial problems, it was repossessed.
Love it.
Oh, yeah. Hollywood connection.
Yeah. Interesting.
This is truly an American horror story.
Yeah.
Legit.
Love.
Is that all our news and gossip?
That is all we have?
Do you guys want to know who I made out with the other night? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, but we'll save that for later. Let's jump into predictions. I want to start with Brooke. Give us your predictions, because we're not coming back until January 8th, people.
Yes. Oh my god, I'm so sad about
this.
There is a lot that
can happen.
All right, Brooke, what do you think?
Oh my god, I'm still like reeling and shaking from this episode. So, what do I think? You know, nothing genius on my part, other than I do think that Queenie comes back. I don't think she's dead. I do think that that Kathy Bates, what's her character? Yeah, I always know the
LaLaurie.
Names. LaLaurie. Thank you, LaLaurie. Thank you. Her head will be put back on her body.
Oh, good.
I do think so. I do. I do.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm getting intuitions right now. I don't know. I think that Fiona's just going to keep getting more and more and more beautiful and young. I don't know.
Interesting.
So many things could happen. This really kind of left me like in a tizzy, I have to say.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to be here with you guys.
Thank you for coming.
Brianna,
My prediction is that Myrtle is crazy. My prediction is that we're watching her. I don't know. I just felt like she started a slow descent today.
Yeah.
Into maybe the recesses of her mind or her whatever, you know, dark parts of her that hadn't been realized in her previous incarnation.
Gotcha.
So that's my prediction. I think she may cause some harm. I don't know. She may cause some divisions or cause some trouble. And I also think that Frank and Kyle and Fiona are going to get close.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hmm. I don't really have that much of a prediction because I would love to just see what happens, let it flush out. Mm-hmm. But I did see a photo of Lily Rabe, Misty Day, on Twitter, and she was dressed all in black at a graveyard. We found out that that's where she's going to meet Stevie.
Oh,
and the black tells me that now she's officially a part of the coven
because we see
the color changes.
Oh, right.
That's like a big theme. So she's wearing a lot of white, also dying for her headband. I need to find that.
Live for that,
But American she's wearing flag. All black, sure. So I am thinking she has officially found her coven.
Okay.
Good point. Nice.
We can also ask our Twitter fans out there to find the headband for you, because they found the red dress.
I want the headband. I as well.
MM's red dress. Thank you for the fan that found that. I retweeted it. But
Sarah.
I'm good. I don't like the predictions. I'm going to boycott them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No predictions for Sarah. You know, what we saw in the promo was that they're looking for the hive of witch hunters. She says, we know of one, we need to find the hive. Right. Kill the queen, you kill the hive.
Hank the Skank Senior's going down?
I don't know. No, I don't think that's going to happen next week.
Okay. It doesn't matter. It could happen eventually.
There's how many more episodes?
Three?
Four,
I think. Well, we want to hear your predictions.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't have any predictions either.
Fans, let us know what you think. You're
you
so
let
insightful.
Us know. Yes. We have, I think, 3 weeks it is before we come back.
We're going to miss you guys.
We are definitely going to miss you guys. Thank you to Brooke for joining us. Yay. Tell our fans where they can find you.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. Everybody, keep watching the show. These guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Tweet me at BrookeLewisLA. BrookeLewis.com is my press site. The official Brooklyn's fan page on Facebook and MsVampy.net. I'm everywhere. So,
yay!
Thank you.
So look out for Brooke, you guys. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at You Can Call Me Skiff.
I'm on Twitter at Sarah on the Go, Sarah with an H.
I am on Twitter at Jillian Leff or my website, JillianLeff.com.
On Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo, Instagram Oriana Leo, or Facebook Oriana Leo Official.
Tweet us.
We really want to hear from you over the break, you guys.
Yeah,
and we'll get
that.
Back to you as soon as we possibly can. We'll see you in
the new year.
Happy holidays.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here. And be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.